على متن طائرة السعودية. من أجل سلامتكم وراحتكم تقتضي قوانين الهيئة العامة للطيران المدني. تدبل المضاءة والإعلانات الملصقة وتوجيهات الملاحين والانتباه لعرض تعليمات السلامة التالية. يرجى التأكد من وضع الأمتعة اليدوية في الأدراج العلوية أو تحت المقعد الذي أمامكم مع اتخاذ الحيطة والحذر عند فتح الأدراج تفاديا لسقوط الأمتعة. يمنع وضع الحقائب عند مخارج الطوارئ أو في الممرات. لسلامتكم يمنع استخدام أجهزة التحكم عن بعد طوال الرحلة، كما يمنع استخدام أجهزة الهاتف الجوال عندما تكون إشارة الهاتف الجوال مضاءة. قبل استخدام أجهزة إلكترونية أخرى يرجى إبلاغ أحد ملاحي المقصورة. يجب أن تكون أحزمة المقاعد مربوطة الآن. لربط الحزام ادخل النهايتين المعدنيتين في بعضهما وشد الحزام. لفك الحزام ارفع اللسان المعدني ثم افصل النهايتين عن بعضهما. في حال انخفاض الضغط داخل المقصورة سوف تسقط أقنعة الأكسجين أمامكم تلقائيا. سارع بتناول أقرب قناع إليك وشده إلى الأسفل ثم ثبتها على الأنف والفم. ضع قناعك أولا ومن ثم يمكنك مساعدة الآخرين في وضع أقنعتهم. أبقي القناع إلى أن يبلغك ملاحو المقصورة بنزعه. في حال الهبوط الاضطراري يرجى اتخاذ وضعية الانحناء إلى الأمام. توجد مخارج للطوارئ على جانبي الطائرة. الرجاء تحديد أقرب المخارج إليك الآن. إذا كان إخلاء الطائرة ضروريا ستضاء الممرات بأنوار ترشدك إلى المخارج. قبل مغادرة الطائرة يجب خلع الأحذية، ترك جميع الأغراض الشخصية، التوجه إلى أقرب المخارج ثم استخدام السلاقة. توجد سترة نجاة في كيس تحت مقعدك أو إلى جانبه. عند صدور التعليمات البس السترة من جهة الرأس، اربط الحزام حول الخصر ثم شده حتى يكون محكما. عند المخرج انفخ السترة وذلك بسحب الشريطين إلى الأسفل أو بالنفخ في الأنابيب العليا، ثم اتبع تعليمات الملاحين. لمزيد من المعلومات يمكنكم الاطلاع على بطاقة السلامة الموجودة في جيب المقعد الذي أمامكم. عند جلوسكم في أحد الصفوف المجاورة لمخارج الطوارئ يتوجب عليكم قراءة التعليمات المتواجدة هناك. إذا أردتم أي مساعدة يمكنكم استدعاء أحد ملاحي المقصورة. استعدادا للإقلاع المرج والتأكد من أن تكون أحزمة المقاعد مربوطة وظهور المقاعد وملحقاتها في وضعها الأساسي وستائر النوافذ مفتوحة. يمنع التدخين منعا باتا ويشمل ذلك السجائر الإلكترونية، كما يمنع العبث بأجهزة الكشف عن الدخان داخل دورات المياه. شكرا لانتباهكم. السعودية تتمنى لكم رحلة ممتعة. بإمكانكم استخدام خدمة التجوال الدولي والإنترنت على متن هذه الطائرة عندما تكون إشارة الهاتف الجوال مطفأة.
Welcome aboard this Saudia flight. For your safety and comfort, the regulations of the General Authority of Civil Aviation requires passengers to comply with lighted signs, posted placards, crew members' directions, and the following safety demonstration. Please make sure that your hand baggage is stowed in the overhead compartment or under the seat in front of you. Exercise extreme caution when you open the overhead compartment to avoid falling of items. Placing baggage near the exit doors or in the aisles is not allowed. For safety reasons, the use of mobile phone is strictly prohibited while the mobile sign is switched on, and the use of wireless devices is strictly prohibited throughout the flight. To use any other portable electronic devices, please inform one of the flight attendants. Your seatbelt must be fastened now. To fasten the belt, insert the metal fittings one into the other and tighten the strap. To release, lift the upper piece of the metal fitting and separate the two ends. In case of a decompression in the cabin, oxygen masks will drop in front of you automatically. Take the nearest mask immediately. Pull it down
and secure it over your nose and mouth. Put on your mask before helping others. Keep your mask on until advised to remove it. In the event of an emergency, please assume the bracing position. There are emergency exits on either side of this aircraft. Please take a moment to familiarize yourself with the nearest exit to you. If an evacuation is necessary, guiding lights will illuminate to guide you to the exit. Prior to leaving the aircraft, remove your shoes, leave everything behind, reach your nearest exit, and slide down. Your life vest is located under or to the side of your seat. When instructed, slip the life vest over your head, pass the straps around your waist, and adjust it at the front. At the exit, inflate the life vest by pulling the tabs down or blowing into the tubes at the top. Then follow the flight attendant's instructions. For more information, please read the safety card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you are seated next to an emergency exit, please read the instructions illustrated there. If you need any assistance, don't hesitate to call one of our flight attendants. In preparation for takeoff, please make sure your seat belts are fastened, seat backs and accessories are in their upright position, and all window shades are open. Smoking is strictly prohibited, including electronic cigarettes. Tampering with the smoke detectors in lavatories is prohibited. Thank you for your attention, and we wish you a pleasant flight with Saudia. The use of mobile phone and internet during this flight is permissible once the mobile sign is switched off.
ضيوفنا الأعزاء، نستمع الآن إلى دعاء السفر، وهو من الأدعية التي كان يدعو بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند سفره.
Ladies and gentlemen, the text you are about to hear is a supplication which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to pray upon traveling.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى اللهم هون علينا سفرنا هذا واطوي عنا بعده اللهم أنت الصاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل اللهم إني أعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل
My weekend in Jeddah is over and I'm now back in Riyadh in my hotel, ready for my final 5 days of work before I go home. This is just past the midpoint, I must say I'm looking forward to getting home, but the next few days are going to be very busy, I'm sure they're going to fly past. Those were just a few of the sounds of the journey on the way back, a terrible continuous buzzing noise for a while at the airport prevented me from thinking or even writing, and the flight was good. I'm very impressed with Saudi Airlines' internal economy seats, plenty of room, you don't need much in an hour and a half. The flight up was very late in leaving and the one back was a bit late in leaving as well, but my driver Irwin was waiting for me with his trainee at Kincaldad International Airport when I got back. So that was very good, very impressed with him. Certainly going to leave him a substantial tip when I go. He's really gone the extra mile to make sure I've been attended to here. Then I've just had a very busy weekend, busier probably than I wanted to have in Jeddah, because I was there under my own steam and under my own finances, hoping to have a rest. I got a run on Friday morning of 3 miles along the Corniche, which is essentially an esplanade along the seafront. I ran there exactly a year ago, according to my Facebook memory. And the Crown Plaza Hotel, where I'm a gold elite member, because it's part of the Hilton Holiday Inn group. That was really excellent. I thought it was quite good value for money. And I had a dinner on Friday night with John Sedgwick and his wife. John is a Sheffield PhD student, soon to be a graduate, I think. He's just working on his corrections. And that was very useful. His wife is the opposite number of someone I'm working with up here in Riyadh at the King Faisal Specialist Hospital, where I'm doing some workshops on Tuesday this week. Sorry, I'm doing them on Monday. This is Saturday night, it feels like Sunday. Never mind. Doesn't make any difference to anyone listening to the podcast, I don't think. Before that, I spent a day with Wafa and her brother, Wafa Al-Jahani, one of my former PhD students from Sheffield, and her brother Khaled, who I'd also met in Sheffield. Wafa stayed with him there. And we went down to the coast to King Abdullah University of Science and Technology to meet a man who had worked in Sheffield. He was of Pakistani origin with a Scottish accent. He'd actually been brought up in Edinburgh. And King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, or KAUST as it's known for short, is an extraordinary place, a multi-billion pound venture built by the late King Abdullah in an endowment that was left in his name, and the seemingly endless funds, a huge campus, not a particularly big university, it's a single building more or less, but state-of-the-art, absolutely state-of-the-art in every respect. And they only have 1,000 students, utterly elite students. There are far more staff than students. They all live on the campus. It's essentially an enclave. You need your passport or ID to get in. You have to book ahead. And it's just a slightly different environment. Women don't have to wear the abaya. Women can drive around the campus, which is huge. There's a golf course on it. There's a swimming pool at the seafront. It's absolutely luxurious. The president gets paid 5 million UK pounds per year. Staff salaries are in the region of £500,000 a year. But it's all science and technology and a bit of a showpiece. And I think held in some disregard or some suspicion by people in other universities who see them as being very privileged and not exactly sure what they're there for. And I think everyone's predicting that it won't last forever. Well, nothing does. Then today, before I came back, I had lunch with the Dean of Nursing from King Abdul University, King Abdulaziz University in Jeddah, along with Wafa and also another PhD student from Sheffield, Ahlan. And there are possibilities of collaboration and me coming back to do some workshops and possibly students coming to Hull. And then we had lunch, didn't have time to do the shopping I'd hoped to do. Nothing quite works out here according to plan. There really is no sense of time or even distance amongst the people I work with. Maybe that's just coincidence. But I decided just to bypass the shopping, get to the airport and avoid the stress of wondering if I was actually going to get there. As it was, I got there quite early. So I'm ready. Everything's prepared for the week ahead. However, you've got to bear in mind that we're in Saudi Arabia and everything can change. My name's Roger Watson, and I'm an academic visitor at King Saud University. This is my second and final visit on that particular programme. I'm from the UK, and I'm the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and I'm the editor of another journal, which is Nursing Open. That's my part-time job between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning, and the rest of the time I'm Professor of Nursing at the University of Hull, which is on in Yorkshire in the UK. If anybody's been to the UK, I'm sure plenty of you have. You might have been to Yorkshire, but you may not have been to Hull. It's on the, if you're looking at the UK, it's on the east coast, halfway up. So I've been asked to talk for a while on detecting similarity in manuscripts. It won't be a very long presentation, but I'm very happy to take some questions afterwards. I usually find with this issue there are questions, and it's Sunday the 17th of April 2016, and I'm still in Riyadh. I find it very hard to get used to this teaching on a Sunday, and I was teaching all day today. I had a session over in the medical college for various people. There were nursing MSc students there, but there were others. I'm not entirely sure who it was aimed at. It wasn't particularly well attended. And I talked about similarity detection in manuscripts. The day was about, the morning at least, was about ethical issues and research. And then in the afternoon I had a couple of hours with the master's students. I had sessions prepared. I did get through them. I didn't feel I had to get through them, but I did do them quickly. But they had lots of questions to ask other than that, so that was quite good. So, long session in the gym today, and went for a walk tonight. I had an idea that I might do some shopping, but I didn't really have any idea what I was going to buy or where I would get it. I just went out, but I came back pretty soon afterwards. It's been 31 degrees today. During the day it's just unbearably hot and bright sunshine, but it's pretty cool at night. Had my dinner and now I'm going to do some recording of some YouTubes for teaching. Okay, shall I just start?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just start. Okay, good. I'll introduce myself. I think, was it? Some people were here before, some people weren't.
For those of you that were not here before, this is Professor Roger Watson. He's our honorable guest and editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. So hopefully within the next 2 hours we'll have learned some skills on how to get nursing research published, whether you do have a manuscript to get published or you're planning to have one. So.
Okay, thanks very much, Sophia. Okay, yeah, I'm Roger, and really nice to be here. I've said hello to some of you already, but for those of you to whom I haven't said hello, hello. Quite rightly, Sophia said I'm the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. Some of you might have heard of it, some of you may not. I hope some of you have. And I'm also the editor of Nursing Open. And this is not a commercial, the whole session is not a commercial advert for my journal, believe me. But I will refer to my journal, obviously, throughout as an example, an outstanding example of an international journal. I'll tell you a bit about the two journals for a start, just so you understand, because I think there's something you need to understand about different kinds of journals. The journal's got a Twitter site with 14,500 followers. It's well worth following. We've got a dedicated social medias editor who pushes stuff out on our blog, on our Twitter site and on our Facebook site. So there's lots of ways to interact with the journal. The journal website is a standard Wiley website, which is a little bit boring, but if you go down to the bottom there are links to the blog, there are links to Twitter, and there are links to special virtual issues which are free to download. So always have a good look at the website every now and again.
I'll make all my, these slides and the ones for the one session in the afternoon, I've got kind of a recipe on them that's worth following, I think. I'll make them available to Sophia, who can send them out to you. I didn't send them in advance for two reasons. I own up, I didn't have time to do it. I was very busy over the last couple of days. But also I find if I give PowerPoints out in advance, people just sit looking at them and they don't listen to me. So there you go. So John of Advanced Nursing is a traditional, refereed, international, peer-reviewed journal. And it's published, we say it's a hard copy journal, although we don't publish any hard copies these days. Everything's completely online. But you don't pay to be published in Journal of Advanced Nursing. The cost of the Journal of Advanced Nursing is borne by people who buy the journal, mainly university libraries, and I'm assuming that the library at the hospital here has access to it. So that's one model. You can pay to publish there. You can pay to make your journal article open access, but that's a separate process from the other process of publishing. You'll find out why I'm explaining this in just a minute. Nursing Open is a completely different model. It's an online, pay-to-publish, open-access journal. All the papers there are open-access from the beginning. You have to pay to be published in the journal. But I just want to make it clear that you pay to have your article published after it's been through review. Okay? You don't send the article in with a check to me. It's a completely separate process. The editorial process is there. The pay-to-publish process is there. We're not one of these predatory publishing journals. I don't know how many of you get emails every day. I get a teen of them. If you look at my Twitter feed, you can see the comments I put out about them. Dear esteemed professor, greetings. I hope you're feeling frisky and happy this day. We'd like you to publish in our journal, the International Journal of usually electronic engineering or something. They'll be bothered to find that.
Right, so I'll do the lights myself in a minute, Sophie. Yeah, thanks very much. Good afternoon. I don't know how many of you were here this morning for the very first session when I was trying to remember a drug that was used to treat Alzheimer's disease, which NICE had put back on the menu as well. It was Benezepril. I remember it. Sophia mentioned NICE again, it just came back to my mind there. That's how your mind works when you're 60, you need prompts. Right, some of you were here in the session immediately preceding this, some of you weren't. They're all just different discrete sessions. What I want to talk about, or what I want to do this afternoon, I'll talk, but you can interrupt and ask questions. It's probably not that long a presentation, actually, but this is a really, I think, they're all important, but this is a really important presentation, and I think this brings it down to earth. It's called the four, I'll put the lights off in a second, but I've got to put the lights off now because you can't see that. Oh, you can't see it because I haven't turned that on. It's called the Four Rules of Writing. And this is really how to write. This is how to get going. Because this is the thing that someone mentioned earlier, was the difficulty in writing is you never get around to doing it. Okay, I think, why is that doing this? Doing it spontaneously. I think I know why that's happening. So that's Monday the 18th over, 3 days to go. I'm beginning to count the days because I'm dying to get home. I was at King Faisal Specialist Hospital all day today from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. I gave a lecture on evidence-based practice, not something that particularly interests or excites me, but I do get interested in the politics around it. And I gave two workshops on writing for publication. And I also had a long chat with Sophia, the Director of Nursing Research there, about extending the project we're doing in Qatar just now and the effect of nursing graduateness on failure to rescue. And she's agreed to that she'd like to do this, so we'll take it from there. So I've introduced her to Richard Gray in Qatar. I'll be back here in a few weeks. I might be able to catch up with her and sort any problems out, if there are any, answer any questions if I can, and I may even see Richard on the way here because I'm going via Doha and I've got a long stopover and I might try and get a visa for Qatar and
come out for a while and visit the Hamad Medical Corporation. So that's today over. Tomorrow I'm somewhere else all day doing similar sessions. And as far as I know, that's the end of my teaching. I know that the ladies and the girls' college would like to have me back to do consultations with staff. I could take that or leave it, quite frankly, because they were supposed to consult with me the other day, but nobody turned up. They didn't really seem to know about it. Another aspect of the disorganisation here. And as far as I'm concerned, they've had their chance, but Ahmad may have other ideas and may want me to go down. Of course, I'll do that if he wants me to. But so far there's nothing in the diary for Wednesday or Thursday. I know Ahmad wants some time together to think ahead and plan. I'd like some time just to actually stare out the window for a while. And also, while I'm keeping up with my own work, to keep up with it even more and catch up. We'll see. So there are dinners arranged for tomorrow night at the Ritz-Carlton again with Mansour Al-Yami from the Ministry of Health, my former PhD student. Ahmad, he and I will have dinner. And then on Wednesday night, I'm having dinner with, organised at least by, again with Ahmad, organised by King Saud bin Abdulaziz University of Health Sciences. Then on Thursday night, I'll be just very glad to get home, well, get back to the hotel, should I say, get packed. I'll have time to go to the gym even, because I don't leave until very late, and then get to the airport and catch the flight home. It's Tuesday the 19th of April 2016 in Riyadh. I'm going off to the, can't remember what it's called, I'll have to check here, the General Directorate of Health Affairs in Riyadh. I've got no idea how that differs from the Ministry of Health, but we'll soon find out. And I thought I was going to be starting at 9. I just discovered that I'm starting, in fact, at 8:30, and my driver isn't going to take me till 8:30. I'm going on till 4:00 giving lectures. I don't know what they think I am, Superman or something. Anyway, I'm not exactly sure what this day's about at all. I haven't got a clue. Something that Ahmad wanted me to do, so I'll just do it. But I just don't think this is going to be one of the best days I've ever had. Right. 2 seconds to turn that on. There we go. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take my jacket off because despite the air conditioning, this is a much warmer country than the one I come from.
Yeah.
Where it's... I come from the UK, where the temperature has reached a high of 8 degrees centigrade, so you can imagine it's a lot warmer here for me than it is back there. So it's my pleasure to be here. I was a bit confused this morning because I was sent a poster which had my picture on it for a session on the Monday the 25th of April, but I won't be here then. I'm going home on Thursday, so I don't know what that was about. But so if you're expecting to see me again on the 25th of April, you won't. This is it. I'm here visiting the King Saud University as an academic visitor, working with Dr. Ahmad Abushekha, who you possibly know. And just to tell you how well connected I am, I'm a very good friend of Dr. Mansour Al-Yami, who is the director, I think, of the nursing budget, or the training budget. He was one of my PhD students a long time ago at the University of Sheffield when I worked there. So, I'm very pleased to be here. It's my third visit to Saudi within a month, I think. I was here 2 weeks ago, and I'm here in a couple of weeks' time. So I've been spending a lot of time here recently, and also in the region generally. I've been to Oman, Bahrain, and also I've been to Qatar recently as well. So, as I say, it's my pleasure to be here. Today I want to. You've got a programme. We'll try and stick to it. I'm going to take my watch off so I can keep an eye on that, so that I can stick to the time as well. Can't see it.
but we'll. I know time's a very flexible concept in the Middle East, so we'll. But I've been told we'll. Yes, you're nodding. Thank you. Yeah. See, it's not flexible where I come from. It doesn't change. But actually, I'm really. Everybody's here. Everyone was here before me, which is very nice. I like that. And I'm sorry I was a little bit late. My driver got a bit lost on the way. So we're going to have a break at 10 o'clock, so don't worry, I won't talk all the time. We may not necessarily get through everything within the timetable here, but we'll get through it all at some point in the day. This sort of format with me on the stage and you down there isn't very conducive to discussion, but I'm really, really happy to take questions and to have discussion. And I don't know if you've got microphones or whatever, but make sure I can hear you. Right, so first of all, I'll tell you a little bit about myself, if that's okay. As Afaf rightly said, I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing and also the Editor-in-Chief of Nursing Open. I will talk about publishing later. I've got other slides which have got the journal sort of emblazoned on them. This one's very much from my university. So just to tell you where I come from, in case you don't know, that's the world and that's how I got here. That's the UK. I know you've been to the UK. Someone's been to the UK. Someone's been to Salford. Has anyone else been to the UK? Yeah, good. Not so many of you. But okay, if you haven't been to the UK, it's a long way off and it's very cold. So I'd go in June, July, and August. Then you'll get temperatures that are something like your winter here. But it's very cold at the moment. And that's for some reason I've circled Taiwan. But So Kingston upon Hull, which is where I come from. I was born up here. That's Scotland. That's the north. That's why I sound the way I do. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying, because my accent isn't like the accents that you might normally hear. Can you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. We consider that we speak very clearly in Scotland, but I think that mostly you're probably used to hearing American accents on TV or whatever. So I come from there, Kingston upon Hull. It's in Yorkshire. And it's a very small city compared with Riyadh. You'd be through it in a few minutes. I think the campus of King Saud University is bigger than my city, honestly. There are only 250,000 people in Hull, 250,000, which is tiny, and compared with Riyadh or most other cities. We've got a very famous bridge called the Humber Bridge. I'll show you a picture of that later. That was the longest suspension bridge in the world, until they built a bridge between Lantau and Hong Kong. That's now the longest suspension bridge. That's 2 miles long, and it's very good for running across if you like running. My wife and I like running. It looks flat, but it's got a very big hill in the middle of it. That's the famous KC Stadium, where my football team, Hull City, the Tigers, play, and also our local rugby team play there. That's our football team, the Tigers. We don't do that very often because we don't celebrate many goals. We're more often getting beaten than winning these days. We're in the second division and struggling to get back into the first division. And my sons and I are doing all we can to support them, but it's one of the hardest jobs, I can assure you. Do you use Smith & Nephew products here? Wound healing products? Yeah. Well, unbelievably, Hull is the home of Smith & Nephew, and not many people know that. Worldwide company based in this tiny town in East Yorkshire, and it's a major employer in the area. The manufacturing's based in Hull. I think the headquarters are now in York, which is 40 miles away. But I always think it's quite a remarkable thing that my small town boasts this, because as long as I've been a nurse, I've been using Smith & Nephew products. I remember using Opsite years ago, which was meant for operation sites, obviously, but then it was made into small sections which we used for pressure sore treatment. And I didn't even know where Hull was in those days. What else can I tell you? This is that's not my house, but that's very near where I live. Some very nice parts of Hull. This is the avenues, and these are very famous houses built by a famous architect who is so famous that I've forgotten what his name is, but you wouldn't know him anyway, probably. A typical red post box, that's a very British thing. And I live just round the corner there, and that's my family. Those are my children, 4 girls and 4 boys and 1 wife. Okay. I always like to emphasise that. One wife, yes, one wife. We're only allowed to have 1 wife in my country. Okay. So that's the oldest one. I'm very proud to say, I'll tell you about my family, it's more interesting than evidence-based practice. That's my oldest daughter. She's Hannah. She's 32 now. She's an advanced practice nurse in critical care, so she's followed me into nursing. And that's Lucy, or Lucia is her real name. We call her Lucy. She is a captain in the British Army in the nursing corps, and she's going to work, eventually in primary care. There are no other. The rest are not interesting because there are no nurses in the family. Okay, that's the youngest one. She's 7. Sorry. Yeah, she's my daughter too. Yeah. She's 17. No, she's not married yet. No. You interested? Okay. I'll speak to you after. Okay. I'll tell you a Rolex watch and she's yours. You know. I'm recording this. I better watch. She doesn't do this. No, she's only 17, and she can do nothing wrong. Okay, that's enough of my family. We don't always do this every year. That's Christmas Day. Sorry, that's alcohol there, but we'll get off that quickly. Here's something else from the from Hull. This is a huge aquarium that we've got there called the Deep. It claims to be the biggest in the world. I actually don't think it is, but we make these grand claims. And it goes right under the ground, and we've got sharks and all sorts of things there. And that's the Humber Bridge at night. And that's where I actually work at the University of Hull. This is it in winter. You probably don't get much snow in Riyadh, no, probably none at all. So that's the logo of the University of Hull, the flame of knowledge, the rose of Yorkshire, the crown. Well, that's the royal crown. That's the symbol of Lincolnshire, which is close by, and the dove of the family which founded the university, the Ferrans family. So the University of Hull is one of the older universities. It was the 14th university to be built in the UK, but there are now 120 universities. We're in the middle of the league tables. We're not at the top, but we're not at the bottom. And I'm very pleased to say that because of my work with Mansour Al-Yami and Ahmad, that Hull is now able to take to take Saudi students into nursing. We can take them into other subjects, but for some reason, sorry, I'm tripping on the cables here. For some reason, nursing wasn't on that list, but we're back on the list now. So I'm blatantly advertising here, if people are interested in doing master's degrees, top up from diploma to degree, master's degrees or PhDs, we're ready to take you. And it's a great development, and we've got a couple of students already, one coming from King Saud and one from another university. And we do have one student in our faculty doing a PhD from Saudi, but because he's not doing a nursing degree, he's doing a health sciences degree, he was able to come. There's nothing wrong with the nursing department, it was just a technicality. I don't think the Saudi consulate realised that there was nursing at Hull. Right, evidence-based practice. I entitled this evidence-based practice or practice-based evidence. And I don't know, I talked a little bit with colleagues at King Faisal. Well, hi again. I'm going to attempt to speak, drink coffee, and change the slides at the same time. We've got some time for discussion later, so maybe if I talk and then we can discuss any questions that people have later. Does that sound okay? Yeah, okay. Whatever you want. Does anybody have any pressing questions just now about the presentation I just gave? Comments? Criticisms? Quite happy to take that? No? Okay. Okay, right, the next session, which is actually, we've got an hour and a half until lunch and prayer, and this is a fairly short presentation on principles of research. I would rather discuss them than talk about them, but we'll see how it goes. So if you've any, is anybody here actually involved in doing research at the moment? No, anybody? Yeah, good, yeah. Good. A couple of people. Has anybody done research in the past? No? Oh, yeah, a few people. Okay, good. Okay, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I hope you all enjoyed lunch. I certainly did. There's always plenty of food in Saudi Arabia. I've never been hungry. From the minute I land in Saudi to the minute I leave, I'm never hungry. And the food is very good. I could have had 3 plates of O'Malley if I'd wanted to, but I stuck to one. So this afternoon I've got to go to the gym and work all that off, because I'm going out for dinner tonight as well. Okay, what I'm going to do for the next three hours, it says, it's a long time to talk. I've got to go at 4 o'clock today. I've got somebody coming to pick me up, so we'll stop just slightly before 4 o'clock, if that's okay. I'm going to talk about the publishing process for a start, and that will take me around an hour or so, maybe a little bit longer. And then I'm going to talk, it says writing up research, but I'm going to talk about the 4 rules of writing, how to get some writing done, and then find things. There we go. So the 4 rules of writing. This is not about the publication process as such. It's not about understanding that. It's about how do you get from having an idea, having a project, to getting it into writing. And I've got one or two. I'll have to go through this fairly quickly, but there are one or two hints and tips I want to give you. Some words of wisdom from other people and some from myself about writing for publication. So I'm sorry that I'll have to go through it very quickly. I will give the PowerPoints to AFAF. I've also done all of these presentations on YouTube, so I can give you the YouTube link as well and you can watch them there, okay? So this is, when we sit down to write, this is what... It's still Tuesday the 19th of April 2016, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. I had an interesting morning this morning. I thought I was going to be late because my driver was only going to be picking me up at 8:30. That's when I'd arranged to pick him up, but then I discovered I was actually still supposed to be speaking at 8:30 this morning. But I managed to get that sorted out. I managed to get the driver early. In the meantime, I had emailed my colleague at the place where I was supposed to be speaking. I don't know if she ever got that, never got back to me. When I was having breakfast, I got a WhatsApp message from Mansour Al-Yami at the ministry with a poster photograph attached with my face in the middle of it, the only face on the poster, and clearly my name there in Arabic and my title. And I was doing this on the 25th of April, that's Monday. I'm not here on the 25th, I'm going in 2 days. So I don't really understand what this is about and haven't quite got to the root of it, and I forgot to bring it up at dinner with Mansour tonight. We were having dinner tonight at the Ritz-Carlton. More of that later. I got to the venue and it was actually very well organised. 80 people there. Gave my talks, or most of them. We were supposed to be there till 4 o'clock and I was halfway through my second last paper, and I got a note slipped to me to say that we had to be out of the room at 3 o'clock because of a maintenance issue, so I didn't give the last presentation. 4 o'clock came, we all just had to get up and get out, and I had to wait for an hour for my driver, but I did sit and have a very interesting conversation with some of the Saudi women at the conference. Very interesting to get their views on the West and to give them my views on Saudi. I'll be quite frank, I'm quite beginning to like this place. There are obvious difficulties here. There are obviously excesses that we find unacceptable. But on the whole, you can move freely. If you mind your own business, nobody gets in your way.
and everybody seems able to live a reasonably normal life, despite the fact that women can't drive, have to cover up, and you can't get a drink of alcohol. But those are actually not the most important things here, I don't think. So I gave my talks, but in the meantime I did ask them about the poster, and they seemed a bit surprised that I wasn't going to be here on Monday. I said, no, I'm not. I've never indicated to anybody I'm going to be here on Monday. And it was expressed, the wish was expressed that we hope you can be there. I said, well, I can't be there because I won't be here. I've no idea what this is about. I've got a feeling that my minor celebrity status in health circles is being used. And don't particularly like it, but there's actually nothing I can do about it, and there's no point in kicking up a fuss about it. So dinner tonight at the Ritz-Carlton with Mansour Al-Yami, and I met an interesting colleague from King Saud University, not someone from the nursing school. He is a nurse, but he works in another school, and we've got a strong possibility of collaboration. I met another colleague of Mansour's who I had met before years ago, and I think I met him in Dublin at a conference, but anyway, I recognised him but couldn't place him, and another couple of colleagues from the ministry. Very nice dinner, and lots of men with guns around and people talking into their lapels, and it transpired that only because I've Googled him now that I got back, transpired that the American ambassador was there. I was waiting to leave, and he just waiting for my colleague to drive me home, and he just walked right past us. So interesting to see that. That's two ambassadors within a week, which is two more than I normally see in a year. It's Wednesday, the 20th of April 2016, and I'm in King Saud University in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Only got today and tomorrow left. Nothing actually in the timetable. Hopefully can have some time with the Dean to plan ahead and sort a few things out. One problem that's arisen is that I thought I had achieved getting Hull back on the list of approved universities for nursing PhDs at the Ministry of Health. I'm pretty sure I have achieved that because I've been told it's been done, and that's been verified by people here. However, I've just met a student who has applied to Hull and been accepted and been turned down by the Saudi Embassy in London, so somehow the news hasn't got through, so I need to pick that up before I go today. Forgot to mention dinner last night, that I got tapped on the shoulder, turned round, and there was a colleague from Mustafa Bodrick from King Saud bin Abdul Aziz University of Health Sciences, who I'd met about 3 weeks ago, with Gwen Sherwood from the States, and I'm having dinner with them tonight. So it's quite strange to be in this faraway, huge city and to bump into somebody in a restaurant. That's the 20th of April over. That's my second last day. I really am counting the days till I get home now. I leave here tomorrow, but in fact I don't fly until the next day. It's, say, 12:30 at night, so tomorrow is the 21st. It's strictly speaking the 22nd when I go. But I'll be boarding the plane on the 21st, and that's the main thing. Tonight I had dinner at an Italian restaurant called La Cucina at the Al Faisalia Tower. I had an interesting taxi drive there. He took me straight there with no problems. I think I overpaid him a little bit, but it wasn't much money. I did try to do some shopping. Absolutely hopeless. That's the second major shopping mall I've been in, and there's absolutely no indicator of where the shops are. I can't understand what this is about at all. Then you ask someone and they don't speak English. Very poor English, but I did get some directions from someone about going through the shopping mall, go to the third floor and go through, and all the rest of it. They just made it up, I think, because it was nowhere near where it was meant to be. Anyway, I eventually asked and was directed to the restaurant, and I waited outside a door for some very important looking local Saudi gentlemen to come out. They were being guarded by soldiers. I didn't make a move until they were all gone, and then asked where the restaurant was, and actually they'd just come out of it. So I went there, met Mustafa Bodrick and Gwen Sherwood from the States, and Mrs. Kavanagh, I've forgotten her first name, who was the quality officer at the National Guard Hospital, and one of her colleagues. And we talked quite a bit about the MERS crisis, and it was more serious than I actually remembered. 500 people died, but it wasn't just that, it was the people who were affected. And many of the nurses caught it, and there were some pretty horrendous stories from the hospital of colleagues having to intubate colleagues who had had the disease. And then Ahmad eventually turned up, and after we'd finished our dinner, he took me home, at least home, back to the hotel. So I'm looking forward to my final day. I'll get in usual time tomorrow, do a couple of hours work. Meet Ahmad only for an hour, because he's got to go off. He's always going off to something. I guess then I will just stay and finish off my work. Somehow get the keys for the office back to their rightful owner. And then I will go back to the hotel, go to the gym, showered, dressed, dinner, and then off to the airport. Can't wait to get home. It's Thursday the 21st of April 2016, and it's my final day in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So this morning I'm just going to go into the College of Nursing and meet Ahmad for an hour or so and sort a few things out, see what, if anything, we can get up to in future. Write my final report, without which I won't get my airfare back, and then finish off work, come back here and clear up, and thankfully head to the airport.
Can I leave a juice or a water there?
Oh, water's fine, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we comply with Port Health Regulations in the United Kingdom. We do need to spray the aircraft with an insecticide, so I'm just about to do this. Just a reminder, this spray is completely harmless to your eye, but we do recommend if you're wearing contact lenses that you keep your eyes closed during spraying and for approximately 30 seconds afterwards.
Or you can put them in the wardrobe at the back if you like. Whatever you prefer,
ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome on board this British Airways operated flight B8262 to London Heathrow. My name is Rich Evans, I'm the captain on board the flight this evening, and joining me here, the flight deck is Senior First Officer Max Simmeter.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to London Heathrow, the local time here. 25 minutes past 5. For your comfort and safety, please.